Good morning, church. Let's begin with prayer. Yes, Lord Jesus, with every breath that we take and every moment that we are awake, help us to remain in your love. And as we hear your word right now, speak to us through your spirit. Help us to abide in your love. Lord, fill afresh us with your love. And Lord, intervene through your spirit as we listen to your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Every year, as the calendar turns, we ask the same question. How do I want this year to be difficult? Sorry, different. How can I make this year more purposeful and meaningful? Some of us want to try new skill, new hobbies. Some of us want to grow and improve. Now, whatever it is, all of us want the new year to be more meaningful and to be better than previous years. And the same happened with a preacher. At the start of the new year, he decided to take on a new hobby, horse riding. And he wanted to train his horse in a unique way, like this. When he would say, "Thank God," the horse would move. And when he would say, "Amen," the horse would stop. Now, one day after the lunch, he climbed on a horse, on that horse, and suddenly the horse started running towards the edge of a cliff. And the preacher almost was really panicked and shouted, "Stop, stop, whoa, what's happening?" He almost forgot what he has to command the horse. At last he remembered and said, "Amen," and the horse stopped right at the edge of the cliff. The preacher was relieved. And with gratitude, he looked up to heaven and said, "Thank God." We can have good intentions and good words, but if we don't know who is truly guiding us, especially who is truly guiding us in this new year, then it may be the case that we may end up going into the wrong direction. Recently, a nationally representative survey of more than around 1,000 Australians was taken up, and it revealed that almost 71% of Australians, they have set a New Year's resolution. This research reveals that people want growth, people want improvement, people want change. People want a better year than the last one. Now, just having the good intentions is not enough. Another research reveals that 43% of people expect to give up their New Year resolutions by February itself. And after 3 months, only 10% believe their resolution will continue. So, why do many people give up? There are all different reasons, but one of the prior reasons is going solo. When people pursue their goals in isolation, they lose their motivation. There's no one to encourage them. There's no one to remind them why they had started. But if they build up connection with someone who checks on them, who reminds them about their goals, who walks alongside them, then this connection changes everything. And in our spiritual life, we see the same trend. Growth does not happen by going solo. It happens when we stay connected to Jesus and to one another. Last Sunday, Gail helped us to reflect on Jesus' call, "Remain in me." A branch does not wake up every day and tries harder to produce fruits. But what it does is it remains connected to the vine, and then only life flows through it. And in the same way, if we are relying only on our strength this year, then we may begin well, but then it may be the case that we will be quickly get weary. And that's why Jesus invites us for a deeper connection. Verse 9 and 10. I have loved you even as the Father has loved me. Remain in my love. If we notice carefully, Jesus does not say, earn my love. Jesus does not say, prove your devotion first. Jesus does not say, fix yourself first. Jesus does not say, as long as you'll perform well throughout this year, then only I'll be with you. Jesus does not say, if you give me your 100% and if you are not going to fail this year, then only I'll be with you. No. He starts with a declaration, and the declaration is, you are already loved. The same eternal love which is existing between Father and the Son is now surrounding all of us. This love is freely given before your effort, before your obedience, before your achievement. And after declaring that love, Jesus says, remain in my love. Jesus' love, which is close and personal. Jesus' love, which is unchanging and constant and unconditional. And this is the love where Jesus invites us to abide in. So here's the question as we begin this year. What if the best resolution we could make this year is to remain in Jesus' love? Kids, can you think about your phone? It looks fine. The screen is good. Everything seems to work well. But what if it is not connected to power? It will drain, it will slow down, and finally it will shut off. Same with us. We need to stay connected to Jesus' love. And here in this text, Jesus also shows how we can best stay connected in his love. In verse 10, he says, when you obey my commandments, you remain in my love. Here we see Jesus is not setting a test for us to pass, but he's inviting us to stay close to him. Jesus is not saying, obey me so that I will love you. He's saying, because you are loved, learn to live in ways that keep you close to me. If you want to experience my love deeply, if you want to live in me, if you want to draw strength from me, remain in my love. Walk in the ways that I have shown you. In other words, obedience becomes not a way to earn love, but a way to stay rooted in Jesus' love. Many of us make resolutions asking, how can I improve my life this year? What if this year the question becomes, how can I stay close to Jesus in my daily choices? The best thing about this is Jesus himself models this love. He says, just as I obey my Father's commandments and remain in his love. So even for Jesus, obedience was not a pressure. It was his relationship with his Father. Can you think about a fish and water? Water is not a reward for good behavior. Rather, it is an environment where the life flourishes. And in the same way, obedience is not about control. It is about staying alive spiritually. Obedience is the environment where our soul can flourish, where our life can truly grow. So when you choose kindness instead of retaliation, when you choose humbleness instead of pride, you are choosing to live in the environment where Jesus' love can keep shaping you. When you forgive someone who has hurt you, it doesn't mean that you are excusing what they did, but it means that you are refusing to let bitterness increase in your heart. Just as a fish thrives in the water, we flourish when we remain in the environment of Jesus' love. And that's where obedience does not become a restriction. Rather, it becomes a pathway to life, joy, and freedom. Moving ahead, we see Jesus does not just show how to remain in his love, but he also shows us the fruit of that love, which is joy. He says in verse 11, I have told you these things so that you'll be filled with my joy. Yes, your joy will overflow. Think about that connection for a moment. When we obey to stay connected to Jesus, we step into the environment where his love can flow freely in us. And what happens then? Our joy grows. Let me ask you, do you want to experience more of his joy this year? This year, do you want a more closer relationship with God? What Jesus is saying is this: the secret of joy is not trying harder. It is in abiding with Jesus. It is in remaining in his love. This joy is not about pretending everything going is fine. It's not a shallow happiness. Rather, it's deep peace. Abiding peace and joy that comes from knowing you are loved and you are never alone. I want to ask you, is there any area of life right now where guilt and shame has taken over your heart? Do you want to experience his joy instead of being heavily burdened? What would it look like letting God's love lead this year for you? Remember, friends, Jesus invites us to receive his love where our joy is restored. Now, when we remain in Jesus' love, it naturally flows to others. Joy in God's love naturally leads us to the next step, which is loving others in the ways that Jesus loves us. Now, this need not to be a dramatic sacrifice always. It shows up in the ways how we treat others, how we choose to give of ourselves. We see this in the life of David Livingstone. He was a pioneer missionary to the land of Africa, and he covered more than 29,000 miles. But while doing so, he faced immense challenges as well. His wife died early in the ministry, early in their ministry years. He faced opposition from his own church. He faced immense sickness. He lived in dangerous terrains. Yet in the midst of all of those struggles and challenges, this was his prayer. Send me anywhere, Lord. Only go with me. Lay any burden on me. Only sustain me. Sever any ties, but the tie that binds me to your service and to your heart. For most of us, loving Jesus may not look this much heroic, but it will look faithful. Through our small and daily, everyday choices, Jesus' love flows from us towards others. It could be like listening instead of defending yourself. It could be like giving your time, resources, and the skills that you have to serve others. Let me ask you, is there someone in your life you could show Jesus' sacrificial love this week? What could be that one small sacrifice, maybe of time, resources, of your skills, that you could make for the sake of someone else's well-being this year? Jesus continues in verse 16, "You did not choose me, I chose you. I appointed you to go and produce lasting fruit." Fruit is not something that we force or manufacture by ourselves. It grows naturally when we stay connected to Jesus and remain in Jesus' love, just like the branches are connected to the vine. And this is the fruit that Jesus speaks about. Lives transformed, our hearts encouraged, and God's love being reflected in our everyday choices and our lives. Think about the life of Sadhu Sundar Singh, an Indian missionary. He left comfort behind and walked barefoot across India. And he spread the gospel, the good news, to the marginalized community. Or think about the life of Mary Slessor. She rescued children in Nigeria, and she showed God's love through daily courage and patience. All of these lives remind us this truth. Fruit grows when love flows outwards, when love flows toward others. It's not about flashy achievements, but it's about consistent, faithful, and sacrificial life lived every day. For those of you who are teachers, God has entrusted you with young lives. And God is shaping their lives through your contribution, through your gifts. Think about how might bearing fruit look like in your classroom this year. Those who are nurses or healthcare professionals, you meet the people in their deepest moments when they're afraid, when they're in pain. This year, can you continue to offer God's love through your humble service? Those who are working in offices, will you treat your work as serving with humility and honesty this year? And kids, when you go back to school, bearing fruit might look like being kind to someone who is feeling left out. Sharing Jesus' love by forgiving, helping, and even choosing to do right in your smallest decisions. As we begin this year, let's not chase our own goals. Let's not chase our resolutions in our own strength. Rather, let's prioritize to stay connected to Jesus. Let us prioritize to remain in His love and let Him shape us and bear fruit through us that will last beyond the year. And when we remain in Jesus' love, our joy rises even in hard times. Our love flows to others in our everyday choices. And God produces fruit that lasts: patience, kindness, faithfulness, goodness. They all begin to shape our words, our choices, and our relationships. Friends, the call of Jesus is simple and yet more powerful. Remain in my love. Amen.